You're listening to the Embrace Running Podcast. I'm Mark.
I'm Elena, and this is episode number 109 for February 18th, 2014.
Welcome to the podcast where we talk about running all the time, although we're not really running all the time.
We just talk about it all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. We do talk about running a lot, not just on the podcast, just in our daily lives.
Mm-hmm. It may be an obsession. Maybe we should seek some help.
Perhaps. All right, what do we got today? I think we're going to have a pretty short episode
today. I think
today.
So, too.
Kind of everything's very condensed down. We kind of went through the running news of the week, and there was almost nothing that really stood out or interested me very much.
Yeah.
You neither?
No.
So we're not going to do any news. So we're going to just kind of share our week in training. And then we did do a race this past weekend.
Right.
So we'll kind of share how that went. I think it went pretty well. Kind of unusual because I did the half, you did the 10K. So that's a little different than normal.
Yeah, I don't think we've ever done that before.
No.
Yeah.
All right, so let's jump into our week in training.
Okay, you want me to go first, I'm assuming?
Of course.
Like always. Okay, yeah. So I kind of had a mixed week. So it was, we had a holiday. I always forget which one it is. President's Day? Yeah, so we had that holiday, so I kind of, on a Monday, so I added that as part of my training week. So like you did last month with Martin Luther King, I made it an 8-day training week. So, but it was a mixed week. I had, in general, a pretty good week, except for my long run. So, let me back up. I got 3 days of weight training or strength training in, so that was good. In terms of running mileage, I got just under 43 miles in, which is not bad. Part of that was the 10K that I did, which I'll talk about later. And then one trail run, which was supposed to be twice as long as it ended up being, which I did on President's Day, but it didn't feel good. So I was going to do two loops on the trail.
Mm-hmm.
And I usually do this loop and then add a smaller loop to get more mileage in, or, you know, kind of do little out and backs on different little trails surrounding that loop to add mileage. So this time I was going to do two big loops, which I thought would take me to about 4 hours of running. You know, not being so focused on the actual mileage, but just time on my feet. So I thought, okay, about 4 hours. So, you know, prepared. And it was 2 days after the race. So I was actually thinking about doing it the day after the race, but I just felt kind of tired. I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, I should probably just not do it today. I still have tomorrow to do it. But of course I still ran on that day. So I think that was probably part of the problem. I didn't actually rest, you know, the day in between the race and my supposed long run.
Mm-hmm.
But I, you know, I went out on the trail and didn't feel that bad at the beginning, but started just getting tired, like really quickly. You know, like I just felt it. I'm like, well, maybe it's just like mental, you know, like I just feel like, oh, I'm out here, you know, by myself and it's, you know, a day off work and I want to be home. So I was like, okay, I'll just kind of push through it. And plus it's a loop. So I got to get back around. Right. I mean, you get to a point where when you go past halfway, it's like, all right, well now you just got to finish the loop or, you
no
know, to, yeah, exactly. You got to make it back. So, I mean, weather was nice. Nothing was like painful, you know, like nothing was really wrong. I just felt really tired. And, you know, I still kept thinking like, well, maybe I can still really push it and do the second loop, or maybe I should do the smaller loop, or maybe I should do this, you know, trying to figure out a different way to just do a little bit less mileage, but not completely blow my run. But when I started noticing that I was actually walking some of the flats versus just the steep uphills, because I was like trying to lower my heart rate a little bit, you know, kind of out of breath, my legs were really tired. I'm like, yeah, this isn't going to happen. You know, I just kind of came to the realization like, this isn't really mental. It's actually physical. I'm just like kind of too tired to do this. So call it a day after one loop. So I was a little disappointed, but I mean, it is what it is. We all have bad days, whether running related or not. We all have bad runs, and I just happened to have a bad run that time. So, I mean, I still enjoyed the one loop that I did. I just, you know, I felt more tired than normal, but I was just kind of more bummed that I didn't get to do the two loops. And I kind of, you know, of course, then you start going into, okay, what could I have done differently? You know, like, why did that happen? You know, that sort of thing. So, one thing was that it was my fifth straight day of running, so maybe not the best call there. It was 2 days after a race, and granted, it was only a 10K, but I did do it relatively fast, faster than maybe I should have. I didn't do a great job of rehydrating after the race and the next day. I just kind of slacked off for no particular reason. I didn't even realize it at the time. I wasn't purposely not, you know, rehydrating, but just kind of thought back, and I was like, wow, I really didn't like take in that much fluids, you know, the day after the race or the day of the race. And I hadn't really had a general cutback week in my training.
Oh, okay. That's
for a while. So, I mean, who knows how much of a role any of those played. Mm-hmm. They probably all played a little bit of a role. Plus, I probably just had one of those off days, mm-hmm. you know? So I'm like, all right, well, can't change anything about that. Moving forward, you know, we'll try to get, or I'll try to get, we now, now it's us.
Don't drag me in.
Yeah. So I'll try to get a better run in this next week and be more mindful of all the things I just talked about. And I guess I essentially kind of had an unintentional cutback week, you mm-hmm. know, even though it wasn't planned.
Right.
I kind of just had that. So, and then another just totally random, if you're superstitious at all, I was actually wearing the same shirt that I used when I did my worst long run ever a couple months back mm-hmm. where it was hot and I had to walk like several miles back to the car. So of course that's totally, you know, non-scientific and superficial, but it's one of my favorite shirts, you know, and of course I've had all these, you know, great runs in that shirt. But now I'm like, now I've had two bad runs. You know, so anyways.
It's time to burn it.
Yeah. No, I'm sure it has nothing to do with it, but I just thought it was kind of funny to mention. So, yeah, that's pretty much my week. So the only thing that made me a little nervous is that I'm essentially like just under 3 weeks away from Way Too Cool 50K. And this was supposed to be like my longest run in terms of just time on my feet. But I did do the 30K the week before and that went really well. And I've had other, you know, 3.5 hour long runs that have gone well, but I really wanted to do something with a little bit more time. So I might actually try for it this coming weekend. And if it doesn't happen, then it doesn't happen. But I'm not pushing it to do it the week before the race, because I think that makes no sense for me to do.
I would agree. I mean, this hasn't affected your confidence going into Way Too Cool at all, right?
It hasn't, actually.
Okay,
which is kind of weird.
Yeah, it shouldn't.
It should, right? No.
No, it shouldn't.
Okay.
I mean, it's only one run.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the only bummer with kind of just not having a great day was the fact that you did the 10K on the Saturday instead of the half so that you could get a good,
right,
tough trail run in over the weekend. And
yeah. Lesson learned.
It's like, oh, you should have just done the half then if you're going to have a bad day. But hindsight's 20/20.
Well, I probably would have felt even worse.
Right.
Yeah.
But at least you would have gotten a half. Well, I mean, right. Who cares?
Well, my thought is I probably shouldn't have raced.
Right.
You know, or if I would have raced, I should have taken the day after off, the day in between off. Yeah, I mean, so there's a lot of different factors.
But... Yeah, see, if I was you, I mean, I guess the one thing I would have done different was, I guess, try to take that day off in between.
Right.
Just the day off after the race.
But... Yeah. But I mean, I felt okay. You know, I'm like, okay, I did 6 miles. It wasn't anything really crazy.
Well,
and it wasn't a super fast pace.
You actually mentioned that episode that we talked about where you had your worst long run. I think that was the title for the episode.
Yeah.
I don't know what number it was, but this is only, I think, maybe the second time I remember you talking about on the podcast having what you would call a bad run.
Yeah.
Or a bad long run. So
right, right.
So for 100 episodes and two bad runs, that's, I would take that.
I guess my chance. Yeah. I guess that's pretty good, huh?
Yeah. That's
percentage
really
wise
good,
to have like two. Yeah. Okay.
At least for bad long runs, you might've had some bad short runs.
Yeah. I mean, and I was like a little disappointed, but I wasn't, I mean, it was one of those things where like, it's just not going to happen,
mm-hmm.
you know? So I'm like, all right, well, just kind of move on. I mean, the good side to that is I felt better. I felt a little less tired the rest of the day than I would have if I had been out there for twice as long.
Mm-hmm.
And I got home earlier, so I got more stuff done at home.
So basically what you're saying is you had more time to watch House of Cards.
Oh, we don't need to talk about that. Yeah.
House of Cards season 2, which came out
right
over the weekend and is very good. And yeah, definitely sucks up some time.
It's a little running related because they do run.
Or they try to, yes.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Yeah. One more thing before we move on to your week. I think I mentioned at the beginning of the year, was it when we did our like running goals or something
mm-hmm.
for 2014? I did mention wanting to do something physically active every day. You know,
yeah.
like not just like actually like in terms of workout. So I've been able to maintain that so far. So far this entire year.
So you're a month and a half in and still going strong. That's
right.
Pretty good.
Mm-hmm. And some of those days, it's not a lot, but I'm still doing something.
Something.
Like, it's like tons of push-ups, but that's like all it is. But it's still something. So.
Well, congrats on that, actually.
Thank you. So, all right. So, I guess back over to you.
To my week.
Yeah.
I guess I'll start with my shoes because I talked a lot about shoes last week.
Mm-mm.
So, I guess I'll share kind of what I decided to do about my shoes. So, I mentioned that my Hoka Bondi 2s, the ones that I've had for a while, the uppers tore. So, I boxed those up and I have mailed those back to Hoka. Only cost like $7, I think, to ship because they're actually in Southern California, so it was actually kind of cheap. So drop those off.
Especially for big shoes, that's not that's not a lot.
The hard part was actually finding an empty box because I didn't have a, you know, it's one of those always have Amazon boxes laying around, but of course this one time I didn't have any big enough to fit a pair of shoes in. But so I had to find a box actually at work, found an empty box to send it back, but got those.
Was it like a refrigerator box? I'm just kidding.
A huge one.
Yeah, I'm just making fun of this.
That would have been really expensive. Sent those off. So those are on their way to Hoka. So we'll see what they say and what the resolution is with that. I did jump online, go to Reading Warehouse, and ordered some Hoka Bondi 3s. Got those within 2 days because they ship everything 2 day. Got them home. They look pretty cool. Tried them on right away and immediately said, nope, this isn't going to work.
Mm-hmm.
Immediately did not like the shoe. And I guess the issue was...
It's a bummer.
Yeah, first off, it was just like, oh.
Although at least you kind of know right away. Well, versus like, I think they'll be okay. And then, you know, getting some runs in.
I tried them on and I, you know, I'm just kind of walking around the house and, you know, even jogging in the house. And immediately... You just know it's not going to work. And in your head, I'm like trying to convince myself, no, maybe I just need to put some time in. Maybe I got to just lace them a little tighter. And, you know,
like you're trying to figure out a way.
Yeah, like really wanted to.
Because you really want them. Yeah.
But I guess everything under my foot felt great. Felt the same as the old model. The upper is definitely stronger than the model that I had that ripped. So that definitely seems like an improvement. This year, Hoka they replaced all their traditional laces with bungee laces. Like lock laces, speed mm-hmm. laces, that type of thing. And they actually have a little elastic part that you can kind of tuck it in there. So that's pretty cool. The shoe just seemed to be too big for me in the rear of the shoe. So my heel would actually slip out.
Mm-hmm.
And when I tightened the shoe, I was basically, you know, it's one of those where you tighten the shoe and each side is like touching over the top of your foot.
Like there is, it's as tight or as close together as it can go.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, if I went down a half a size to maybe alleviate that problem, I think I would be... It would be too small in the mm-hmm. toe box. The shoe would just be a little bit too short for me. So kind of a bummer, kind of weird that it fits just so differently than the old one. But it's basically just too loose in the back of the foot and is not going to work at all. So Running Warehouse just filled out the form on the order and threw them back in the box. It already comes with the label. So I threw the label on and shipped them right back to Running Warehouse. Actually, I just asked for store credit. So I already got that emailed to me pretty quick. So which left me with the decision to... Just keep the Bondi 2s, my second pair that I had just recently purchased on mm-hmm. clearance. I just decided to keep those for now and actually wore them this week and over the weekend. And hopefully they just won't rip on me. And if they do, I'll just have to send them back to Hoka until I can kind of figure something else out.
Right.
And that's it. So kind of a bummer. Actually did try another pair of Hokas over the weekend, the Rapa Nui's, which actually did feel pretty good. So that might be a shoe I go to in the future. But I want to see what Hoka does after they get my shoe back before I make any other decisions. But at least I kind of have a shoe now that's good for, better be good for at least the next 100 miles.
Right.
But hopefully I can get to 300. Well, I mean, hopefully 500. But if I had to predict, I'll say the last 200. That's my prediction.
Yeah.
We should start a pool going, you know, how many miles until Mark's shoes rip, you know. But I think I'll get 200 miles out
and
of them.
And if you slip me some money, I'll go rip them. No.
Start putting a little cut in there with a knife. Yeah. I'm like, oh.
Like just a little cut starting up already.
Yeah. So that's my shoes. As far as running for the week, everything went well. Got my runs in during the week. My Thursday run, I think I cut it short by about a mile and a half, just because I had the race coming up on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of tired. I was like, well, you know, it's kind of a good time to cut a mile.
Yeah.
Off of the schedule, I was like, you know,
makes
wasn't going to really help me for the race.
Right.
And actually, I think now I'm done with 6 weeks of training for Big Sur, 10 weeks to go until the race.
We still have 10 weeks?
Still have 10 weeks,
I think.
So
I'm not panicked.
I think everything's going good with that. I'm kind of okay with where I'm at. And we'll talk about the race. Saturday was the race, 13.1. I did do the half. Did finish. Yay. I was never doubtful on that. But yeah, that's kind of my week. Did I miss anything?
I don't think so. I mean, the race we're going to get to, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. I guess I'll just mention some of the races that happened this past weekend, although we're actually not going to talk about any of them. But just in case you want to know what you missed out on, Lost Dutchman was this past weekend.
Yeah.
I know that's in Arizona because that's a race we've thought about.
Yeah. Second year in a row we've thought about going out there.
Yeah. Buzz Marathon in California was this past weekend, a race we've done in the past. Pretty cool. Very small, low-key, super, super small race. Jackpot Ultra. Bay Breeze, the race we did do, Galveston Marathon, Brighton Half Marathon, Daytona Half Marathon, and Ironman 70.3 Panama.
Yep.
So those are the races this past weekend.
Last one in there.
But yeah.
Yeah, for those triathletes.
Like I said, we're not going to jump into any running news because
there really wasn't much going on.
Kind of boring. I know Mary Kane ran fast at a track meet and some other interesting track stuff, I guess, but don't want to talk about the track stuff again. So
Olympics are still going on.
Still going on.
I think you're still watching some curling.
I've barely seen House of Cards really took up the weekend. So the Olympics really took a back burner on that. So
I watched some of the snowboard cross. No, snowboard. What's the one where there's like six of them racing down?
Yep.
Yeah. It's the snowboard cross.
I think they call it snow cross, maybe. I don't know. Border cross.
Yeah, that was. I don't know. I think it's border cross.
All right. We're showing our extreme knowledge in winter sports.
Okay. I'm just going to take back that last statement I just said. All right. We'll just backtrack. The Olympics are still going on.
All right. So before we actually get into our race recap, you were going to talk a little bit about CJ and Run.
Yeah. Actually, some exciting news here. Actually got selected to be an ambassador for the CJ and Run San Francisco Bay Area race, which is in June. It's a 5K and a half marathon, I think also like a kid's run. So I've actually done this race before. It's women-oriented, women-specific, but it doesn't exclude men. So guys, you can still participate and register for the race. You get champagne and chocolate at the end. So that's, you know, a big thing that they're well-known for. So they have a couple of races in other areas too. Seattle is one of them. But what this means for you guys, which is good, is that I actually have a discount code to share for the registration that is good for 10% off the half marathon or the 5K. So it'd be for either one. And then you could also use this code online or in person to get 10% off their store items too. So they have a couple of locations out here in Northern California, mm-hmm. in the Bay Area. So the code, all capitals, is SJRAMB246. And then we also have that up on our website. So embracerunning.com.
Yeah, it's right there in the middle, so you won't miss it. So both 10% off the race and 10% off at the store.
Right.
And we should mention the race itself is actually in Alameda.
Correct.
So they call it their SF Bay Area race, but it's actually in Alameda.
Right. So right across from San Francisco, actually.
Right.
Yeah.
It's actually a nice place. I was actually out there.
Yeah. And I'll be there.
Yes. Yeah. So you will be running it. So we've actually added it to the calendar of races that we have coming up. So that's also on the webpage. We always have that list there so you can see kind of what we're doing. So it's kind of cool just being able to pass on a discount to everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. So. Yeah. And if you like chocolate or champagne. Or both, you should definitely do it.
Yeah, it's kind of an interesting combination, I guess.
Yeah. What, chocolate and champagne? Yeah,
to me, it is.
Yeah, I think when I did it, I just opted for the chocolate because I'm not really a champagne person, but a lot of people really enjoyed that. So.
But yeah, it is a women's, you know, event, and I'm trying to think back. There's very few men that actually do it, though, right?
Right.
Yeah. So if you are a man doing it, you'll be lonely in that regard. Or very popular in that regard.
I guess it all depends. Yeah, it kind of reminds me, percentage-wise, being similar to Nike Women's.
Percentage-wise.
Right. Yeah. So, all right.
Anything else on that one?
Nope, that's it. I mean, if there's more to share as time comes on, as time goes on, I'll definitely do that. So.
Yeah. All right, let's talk a little bit about the race that we did this past weekend, which I don't think we'll go in huge, massive details because it's kind of a smaller local race, but we did the Bay Breeze race, which is part of Brazen Racing, one of the races in their series. It's actually here in the Bay Area, San Leandro, California specifically, which starts and finishes at the marina there in San Leandro. That's actually, San Leandro is right on the edge of the San Francisco Bay Area. So the entire course actually kind of runs right along the water, basically.
Yeah. I mean, you could see the water the entire time, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not the most, depending how you look at it, not the most scenic stretch of water that you'll ever see, especially at low tide.
True.
Because it is very different from low tide to high tide.
Yeah, it is.
But yeah, the weather was absolutely perfect. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was overcast.
It was overcast, and it was probably cool, like, but not.
Yeah, it was probably low 50s.
Yeah.
So I know some of you
For some of you, it was hot.
That would be very odd temperatures for this time of year. I think where we really lucked out is San Leandro is, at least down here by the marina, 90% of the time it's either windy or really windy.
Mm-hmm.
It's always windy when you go down there, and there was no wind at all.
Yeah, at all.
Barely, not even a breeze. I mean, I think that's the reason for the name Bay Breeze because it is so windy.
Yeah, so the breeze was lacking this time.
Yeah, which is weird. Because, I mean, I was actually super familiar with kind of the first few miles of the race course because this actually used to go down there and run all the time several years back. So super familiar with it. And yeah, it was always windy and, I was like amazed. I was like, oh, this weather is.
Did you just keep waiting for like the wind to start? Or did you just.
I guess. I mean, it got like a smidge windier once the race started. Like there was a hint of a breeze thinking about coming up. And I was like, oh, maybe it's going to kick up. And then it just never did and stayed really nice and perfect. So.
Yeah. And we should mention this isn't a traditional Brazen trail race.
Yeah, this is flat.
Right.
So it's basically
like as flat as you can get.
Yeah, I think the first mile, 2 miles, is on paved. Mm-hmm. And the whole race is, if you do the half, straight out and straight back.
And if you do the 10K, same thing. You just turn around
back,
sooner.
Out and back. 5K, yeah. Out and back.
5K actually has a little loop.
Really?
Yep. And then does part of the out and back section that the 10K and half does. But they have a little loop, yeah.
I didn't notice that at all. Because I've never actually done a loop. Even when I used to go run there all the time, it was just straight out and straight back. But
yeah.
But yeah, the half is, you know, you're 6.55 out and 6.55 back. But, you know, closest to the start-finish line, I think it's about a mile, 2 miles, maybe paved. And then after that, it turns into hard-packed dirt and gravel,
mm-hmm.
which, depending on what your preferences are, you might like it, you might not like it. I actually really like running these types of races because mm-hmm. getting off of the concrete and the asphalt takes a little bit of the pounding out of the legs.
Very
so
true.
For me, perfect. Love that about it.
And there's maybe a bridge or two, like a wooden bridge.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't remember. I think I only went across one, but you might have gone across two.
Yeah. And the whole thing is basically the size of like Fire Road. To give you an example, so there's not tons of room out there for a course that's going out and back. So, you know, whether you're doing the half or the 10K, once you start getting people coming back the opposite direction, it's a lot of points. It's single file type of thing, kind of go around people to pass, but not tons of room out there. But I don't think it was a problem. It's not like this is a huge race in terms of number of people or anything mm-hmm. like that. Super organized at the start, same old Brazen Racing style stuff. They had bag check, and we actually did packet pickup right before the race. That was no problem. Restrooms, no problem.
I mean really well organized.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of different areas to park in.
Some dirt lots
and some regular parking lots. So
yeah, so the half marathon started at 8 o'clock, which was my start time. Mm-hmm. Actually started before you. See, this is so weird because
not only did
I run farther than you, actually started before you.
Yeah.
Because the half was at 8, and what was it, 8:15 for the 10K?
Yep.
Something like that.
It was weird because we were out there with a group of people, and a few of you guys did the half marathon.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys took off, and I was like, I'm going to wait another 15 minutes. And you just kind of felt kind of odd. It was different.
You had time to kill, which is unusual. It's funny now because I'm thinking in retrospect that one of the things about Brazen Racing is you can opt not to get a race shirt.
Right.
And I opted not to get a race shirt.
I did the same thing.
The funny part is I could not tell you what the race shirt looks like. I know you told me it has the same logo that's on the medal, but I actually paid zero attention to anybody's shirt. So I completely did not see what the shirt looked like. I know it's weird, right?
Not even people out there running?
I didn't pay attention at all. I don't know if maybe in the half there wasn't so many people that were wearing the race shirt.
Maybe.
Or what, but I didn't see it. I have no idea. Just weird.
Yeah. I mean, I think they had, you know, they always do a cotton and a tech version.
I couldn't even tell you what colors they were.
For men and women. So I think for men, it was two different types of blue. I think the tech was like a darker blue. Cotton was a lighter blue. And then for women, I believe the cotton was pink. And then the tech was purple. So.
If you say so.
Yeah, it was.
I'll believe you.
Trust me.
All right. Anything else we just want to say about the race in general?
In general?
At all?
No, I mean, volunteers at the aid stations.
Were awesome.
They were awesome. They were like super vocal and, you know, really like. At least when I came through, like cheering everybody on mm-hmm. and like super excited, just like really motivated and lots of energy. So that was nice. And then I was going to talk about the post race spread or food. I don't know if we should talk about that now or later.
Let me go back to the aid stations and the volunteers. Let me just say I had, because everybody was pretty cool that were at the aid stations. And, you know, our bibs actually have our names printed on. So if you register by a certain date, you get your name printed on your bib. And as I'm going through aid stations, you know, people are really good about, you know, good job, Mark. Here you go, Mark. Want some water, Mark? You know, all that kind of stuff and really encouraging. And I was thinking, and I don't know, has anybody seen a race like this?
Oh, that's right. Maybe mentioned it. Yeah.
Yeah. I was thinking, like, why don't we give volunteers bibs that have their names printed on them?
Like just their name, like no number?
Yeah, we
maybe,
don't need the
just,
number because that doesn't matter. But, you know, if we could just get volunteers bib with their name printed on there, that way can we say thanks, Bob, Bill, Linda, whoever they are.
Yeah.
You know, kind of call them by name, kind of like they call the runners by name.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually thought that would be a pretty cool idea
to
incorporate. At least, I don't know, I think it would work for Brazen. You know, it's not going to work for a race with 10,000 people. That gets a little bit hectic.
Right.
But kind of some of these smaller races, I thought, oh, that could be kind of a cool, fun thing to have mm-hmm. at the race. So I think at some point I'm going to email Brazen just to, maybe they can do it like one time, see how
and
it
just
goes.
See how it goes.
Yeah. But, I mean, I don't know if you were volunteering, would you care about wearing a bib? Might be a little weird.
Like, it'd be a little weird. I'd be like, why am I wearing a bib? But then, I mean, but if it was explained to me like, oh, so, you know, people know your name. And I'm like, okay, I'll give it a shot, you know, and just kind of see how it goes. And then I'm sure if anybody actually, you know, said my name directly, I'd be like, oh, yeah, I want to do this all the time. So, you know, like, wear the bib.
Yeah. Because, I mean, there's even a few people that I see volunteering, like, at these races all the time. And I've never had, you know, you don't really have a chance to stop and talk to them in the middle of the race.
Mm-hmm.
But at least if they had a bib with their name or something, I can at least know, like, you know, that's whoever.
Right.
You know, and I can at least yell at them after the race if I happen to see them, you know, hey, thanks.
So-and-so.
So-and-so. Yeah. Whatever your name is. So,
and yeah, I always thank them. You know, yeah. Come across just as a group in general, you know, like, thanks for coming out here. Thanks for helping out and stuff like that. So, but yeah, I don't have any specific names. So,
yeah, I definitely try to do that early on in a race. Sometimes if it's the end of a half or a full, that mental capacity goes away and I'm just like, ugh, water.
I try to do it towards the end too, because I know that they've been out there longer.
That's a good point.
So, you know, and probably less people are doing that.
Yeah.
At that point.
All right. So before I cut you off, you were going to talk about the post-race stuff.
Yeah. So, I mean, we've talked before about Brazen Racing having a lot of post-race goodies from the It's Ice Cream to, I mean, anything you can think of, you know, in terms of, you know, cookies and bagels and fruit. But it just seemed like this time they had, like, a lot more to me, like, in terms of variety. Maybe it was just me. They had a lot of food.
You said that, and then I was actually talking to somebody else who kind of said the same thing. And I guess I'm not a good judge this time because I don't think I ate that much post-race. Uh-huh. And I didn't really pay too much attention to kind of what was out there. I kind of grabbed my go-to stuff.
Yeah.
And that was it. I didn't even grab an ice cream or anything like that.
Yeah, but I didn't either. Yeah.
So I didn't pay that much attention. But you're not the only person that said that. So.
And I think I probably noticed it because I went over there after I finished the 10K. And some of the people we went with had finished their 5K. And so we went over there and, you know, I grabbed some fruit and some other not-so-healthy things. But not ice cream. And then when you guys that were doing the half marathon finished, we walked back over there. And so I just, you know, like I saw it again. And I'm like, wow, it just seems like there's a lot of different variety. So just throwing that out there. Mm-hmm. Not that that's a specific reason to do a race or anything, but
it's a good reason to do. All right. Should we share specifically kind of how our races went?
Sure. You want to go first?
Sure. Since I guess I had the early start.
Yeah. There you go. Since you started first.
Yeah. This is kind of an unusual race for me in that I went into the race with a plan, and you may be shocked and you may be amazed, but I actually stuck to the plan, which is very unusual for me.
Mm-hmm.
So my plan was to really, I think I've kind of been on the theme lately in my head to kind of run a little bit more consistent during the run or during the race and then trying to finish strong. So I kind of took that to this race, and that was going to be kind of my plan. So my plan was to really hold back in the beginning, not get caught up in kind of the start line stuff,
mm-hmm.
and really just kind of keep it at a pretty steady, decent, but slower pace than what I would normally do for maybe the first half of the race. And then because it's out and back, once I got to the turnaround point, was kind of a chance to, from there, like, pick up the pace and really try to finish off the race and finish strong.
Mm-hmm.
And I stuck to that. And, you know.
Was it difficult to do, like the first part, I guess, going out, you know, slower than maybe you would have normally gone?
It was extremely difficult. So I was actually started lined up in the back, kind of far to the back. And we had some friends there who were also there doing the race, and they kind of waved for me to come up, and I'm like, I'm trying to start in the back here. But I went up there reluctantly.
I was going to say, and, when I looked, you guys were all next to each other. Well, because they took a picture.
They called me up, and I was like, okay, you know. And truthfully, I wasn't that much further back than they were anyway, so it really didn't make much of a difference. But yeah, at the beginning, you know, because it is kind of like a little narrower trail, you're kind of just stuck with whatever the people around you are running. So I was actually even a little bit faster than I wanted to be over the first half mile. And then after that, I got a chance to kind of try to slow down even more. I kind of did the opposite of what you would normally do. You know, sometimes in a race, you might pick somebody off in the distance and say, okay, I'm going to try to chase them down. Or you might get somebody who's in front of you in a race and kind of just try to hang on to them and kind of have them pull you,
mm-hmm.
you know, so you can kind of keep your pace up. And I was kind of doing the opposite. I was kind of looking for people that were just kind of keeping a good steady pace and then getting in behind them and kind of forcing myself to stay behind them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, you know, I kind of want to go a little bit faster, right. But I'm staying right here behind this person. And, yeah, so I kind of just held myself back, and that was tough. And I told you it was kind of weird at the, like, miles 2 to 4, I was kind of bored, which was just weird.
That's weird.
And I don't know if that's a case of I was holding myself back and or it's just that part of the course I've run a million times before, so it's kind of
like checked out, like nothing to look at.
Yeah, it was kind of, like, you know, you've seen it before. I've seen all this tons of times, so
yeah.
I mean, a good way to put it, I just kind of checked out and just kind of got in the groove there. But yeah, kind of just try to hold myself back, keep it going. I think at mile 5 or something, I was coming up onto, they had some porta potties out on the course, And I did one of those things where, you know, you kind of see the porta potties off in the distance and you kind of pay attention to whether there's people in them or not going in or coming out. And just happened to be when I got to the porta potties, there was no line. There was nobody in one of them. So I just ducked into a porta potty for a quick minute there because it was empty. I think if it wasn't empty, I would have kept going. But did that. Just kept going. Went out to the... there was an aid station right before the turnaround, which is actually perfect because you could actually grab a cup of water.
Turn around and...
Went like 20...
Yeah.
Maybe 20, 50 more feet. Did the actual turnaround with the volunteer right there. I don't know if it was a cone or a little sign. And then you kind of passed the same table again. So I was able to get water or their sports drink. What is it? Ultra?
Ultima.
Ultima. No, something like that.
Yeah. I don't think there's a sports drink called Ultra, but that'd be cool.
That'd be a good one.
Yeah.
Kind of
or
not a great
electrolyte
one,
drink.
Actually.
Yeah, so Ultima.
So I did that, got through the turnaround, and then, you know, you're going a little bit further, and then you basically get to the 6 miles to go. Little sign. They actually have the little markers in the ground, and I kind of equate it. I like to use the analogy. It was kind of my time to clock in. It was time to go to work. And I just kind of picked up the pace from there, and I was probably, I don't know what I ran coming back, a minute faster a mile, a minute and a half faster per mile than I did going out. But it was definitely like, all right, this is time to go to work and get serious. And I was feeling, you know, I was feeling pretty good. Because I saved so much energy kind of in the first half of the race and, you know, definitely kind of passing some people. I kind of got thrown because, to give you an idea of what my pace was, they actually did have pacers out there.
Yeah.
And when I got to the turnaround, I didn't realize until I got there the 220 pacers were in front of me.
Uh-huh.
Because I never noticed them. I thought I lined up in front of them at the start line and I didn't see them pass me. So when I saw them ahead of me, I was kind of like, oh, okay, I'm a little bit. Little further off than what I thought I was, but I was like, all right, it's something to, you know, chase down.
Yeah.
So no problem there. So, so I kind of had those two pacers in the distance to kind of help pull me along and, chase them down and pick up the pace. And, yeah. And then it kind of got a little bit more fun, got a little more trying and a little, definitely a little harder push there. But, I was actually kind of closing in on them at about, as we came into about three and a half, something like that, where the next aid station was.
Meaning three and a half to go.
To go.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you. And then actually, shout out to Amanda, who actually listens to the podcast and was out there doing the race. I actually caught up to her, I think, probably right before the aid station. So she actually noticed I was there and said hi. So it was nice meeting her out along the course. I think we were both kind of struggling there to kind of keep the pace. But yeah, I got to that last aid station with three and a half to go, walked as I took my goo, took my water or whatever it was. I don't even know if I took water or sports drink. And then it was kind of like, all right, next push to you know, kind of keep going. So picked up the pace again and then kind of just finished off the race. At about 12 and a half, I was really tired.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of had that urge like, oh, I just want to walk for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And
did you walk?
I did not.
Good job.
So stayed mentally tough at that point. And just got towards the finish line, which is on grass, almost twisted my ankle. Because it's...
That's probably the most dangerous part is that very, very beginning and the very, very end, it's on grass. So it's like uneven, you know. And some...
Yeah, there's like little divots and potholes.
Yeah, and they warn us about it, but still, it's like.
But it's like one of those, I'm looking up at the clock because I'm trying to see my time. I'm looking around at the people that are around the finish line just like, oh, who do I know? What's going on? And I'm trying to pay attention to where I'm running and almost twist my ankle. And I was like, oh, God, I would have felt like such a dork had I like fallen, you know, 20 feet from the finish line. Oh, my ankle type of thing. But,
and then crawl through the.
Yeah, I would have just had to hobble, I guess. But yeah, I finished up the race. I think my final time was like 2:16, maybe something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think had I not made the quick bathroom stop, it would have been 2:15. And going into the race, I think I probably would have said, you know, if you had asked me what I was going to run, I probably would have said a 2:15.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of
pretty much on the money then.
Kind of what I thought. So I was pretty happy that, you know, I was able to kind of slow down the first half of the race and then the second half of the race kind of pick it up and finish strong. So I don't know what that tells me going forward in a Big Sur in 10 weeks, but, yeah, I'll just leave it at that, I guess.
How was your IT band issue?
My
didn't really mention it, so. Or knee or whatever.
Yeah, my knee was, you know, it bothered me a bit, but it didn't really stop me or grind me to a halt or anything like that. It was kind of pretty steady the whole time. And I do think it's keeping me from running as fast as I used to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it would be a problem if I was trying to shoot for a 2-hour half marathon right now.
Okay.
It's just one of those things. I think as my fitness has improved so far this year, I think the knee's gotten a little bit worse. So,
yeah, I think you mentioned that last time.
Yeah. At some point, those two little lines on a graph will intersect and, that might be the best I can do for a while, but we're not there. But I'm pretty happy with, I guess, how the knee held up. So no complaints there.
That's good.
Yeah. So that's my race. Super happy with it. So how was your 10K?
My 10K was pretty good. I mean, like I mentioned earlier, it was, you know, flat course out and back, basically along the same route that the half marathon takes, but we turn around, you know, significantly sooner. So my plan was to not push really hard, but push a little hard, if that makes sense. You know, I was kind of trying to treat it maybe like, well, going into it, I was going to treat it more like a tempo. You know, I was going to take it kind of slow, then pick it up for a few miles, and then maybe slow down again. So that was the plan. So first mile went pretty much according to plan, and kind of, like you said, when you mentioned that you're kind of stuck with kind of a group of people that are kind of going whatever pace, it actually worked to my benefit too, because they were going maybe a little bit slower than I would have normally run a 10K at that point. So it actually was good to hold me back a little bit like that first mile, maybe first mile and a half. And then, you know, kind of opened up a little bit in terms of not being so crowded. And I was like, oh, I'm feeling pretty good. You know, I'll push a little bit harder now that I'm somewhat warmed up after a mile and a half. And, you know, the next couple of miles, you know, was running a pretty good pace, what I'd be happy with in terms of doing a tempo run. And my plan was to slow down at the end. But, you know, it's kind of hard to do that when you're in a race. Even if you're not racing, you know, it's hard to, like, slow down. You know, like, I don't know. If you don't have a reason to, like, if you're not feeling bad or, you know, having a bad race, it's, you know, it's hard to, like, okay, I can keep this pace. Okay, no, let me slow down, you know, and you know you're already just, like, 2 miles away or a mile and a half away. So just pretty much kept that pace. And I was like, I'll just see, you know, how it goes for the rest of the race. I think at that point it was probably, like, 2.5 miles. So there was a couple of people that was kind of, you know, leapfrogging, you know, kind of kept doing that. You know, they pass me, I pass them, that sort of thing. And then there's this one guy who was really going for an age group award. And the reason I know this is because he was making it known.
He told you that?
Well, he didn't tell me that, but he was really loud because he had headphones on, and I don't know how loud the music was. So whenever he talked, it was like loud, you know, he was like yelling, but I thought it was hilarious because I was one of the people that I was kind of, you know, playing leapfrog with. And, he came up to an older gentleman, and, you know, just right up next to him and just super loud. And, you know, he's like, oh, I'm trying to, you know, get an age group award. You look like you're older, you know, so I don't think I have to beat you. And the guy's like, no, yeah, I'm like 50 something. He's like, okay, you know, and then he kind of kept going. I'm just cracking up. And he wasn't doing it like in an obnoxious way.
Right,
it was like
just
actually like a really fun. Yeah, yeah. And so, you know, they're just kind of, you know, going back and forth. And then he talked to himself a lot. I mean, I'm all about like positive self-talk and all of that, but usually I say it in my head if there's a lot of people around. You know, if I'm by myself on the trail, then sure, I'll say it out loud, right? But, you know, and he's just like, you know, pumping himself up. So I was just, it was just fun staying kind of close to him. And he's like, come on, you got this, you know. And so, you know, and I was just like, oh, it's, you know, it's just having a good time, right? So I kind of stayed with him for a while, and then you know, then he kind of left me in the dust for a little bit, and then somehow I caught back up to him, and probably with like a mile to go or maybe 3/4 of a mile to go, I come up on him again, and you know, I'm feeling pretty good, and I'm like, oh, finish line's like not that far away, let me just push it, right? So instead of slowing down like I was supposed to, I was like, oh, let me just finish strong, right? So I passed him, and he's like, oh, good job, you know, of course yelling because he's got his like his headphones on
way too loud,
right?
Probably.
He's like, good job, you're gonna do it. And I'm like, I don't know what I'm gonna do, but okay, yay, right? That's a good thing. So I'm like, come on, come with me, right? And so I just kind of waved him over, and he's like, okay. And so, you know, he's behind me, and you know, he's like yeah, you know, we got this. And he's like right behind me. I'm trying not to like laugh, but it's just having a good time, right? And then we're going, and like half a mile or a quarter of a mile later, you know, and at this point we've caught up to like a lot of like 5Kers and stuff. So there's just a lot of people around, other people that are just out there enjoying the trail too. Right. And he's like, you know, yelling, he's like, thanks for taking me with you and picking me up on the way back. And people are just like laughing. I'm like, oh my God, I don't even know this guy, but it was just funny. And so, and then it was like silent. There was like nobody behind me. So I kind of looked back, and I'm like, okay, he's not there anymore. So anyways,
so you dropped him?
I guess.
Oh,
not on purpose.
I
thought he was right there. And then all of a sudden there was just no, like no sound. And like, you know, I kind of tried to do like that look back, and he wasn't right there. So I'm like, okay. So anyways, just, you know, so I, you know, turn onto the grass, and same thing. You got to like be careful. You know, I'm like, okay, I don't want to like fall and like twist an ankle and that sort of thing. Came through the finish line. And then he was probably about a minute after me, I think around that time. you know, and he's like, oh, thanks. You know, he's, you know, for motivating me. He's like, I think I will probably get an age group, you know, or he's like, I didn't realize you picked it up at the end. I thought you were still running the same pace as earlier. He's like, otherwise I wouldn't have gone with you. He's like, but you know, thanks. And so, yeah, it was funny. It's kind of nice just to talk to.
Right. Right.
You know, I still don't know what his name is. Mm. I don't know where he's from. You know, I don't know what his age group is. He looks like he's probably around my age, but I have no idea. So hopefully he got his age group award or win or whatever it is. But it was like a nice little twist, fun twist to the race. So I was kind of having a good time, you know, just running, I guess, with him. I don't know. So, but in terms of my overall time, I was pretty happy with my time. I kind of wish I would have ran slower.
That just makes because sense. Of your run 2 days
yeah,
later.
Yeah. So, but I mean, on that day, I felt good. I didn't feel like I was pushing it so hard that I was like, what I say is like redlining it where I'm like totally like breathless and like can't, you know, go any harder, you know, except for maybe like the last, like, I don't know, 0.05 of a mile, you know, where you're just giving it all you got because everybody's looking at you and you're coming across the finish line. You know, other than that, I didn't feel like I pushed it, you know, too hard. So I actually did manage to get second in my age group.
Yay,
which I didn't think I had a chance because, you know, there's a lot of people at this mm-hmm. race and I don't do 10Ks very often.
That's
so, didn't get a PR, which totally fine with was not working towards that at all. And actually finished fifth female overall. So that was like, wow, I was happy with that.
So you definitely ran way too fast.
Pretty much.
Yeah. That's the lesson there.
Yeah. Lesson learned. I had a good time, but I should have slowed down. So that's all right. No regrets.
That and the other lesson is run with your music maybe a little bit lower.
Right.
During the race.
I had music too, but I had music too, but it was quieter in terms of just the volume and I could hear him like yelling. So anyways, yeah, that's the lesson learned there. So but yeah, overall, good time.
Yeah, good race.
Good race, well organized.
Yeah, no complaints as always.
Easy course to follow.
Yeah, if you're local or if you're going to be in town for the weekend, it's a good race to do. They actually do the exact same race during the summer. It's called Bay Breeze. Wait, what did we just do?
We just did Bay Breeze.
It's called Summer Breeze.
Yeah. Okay. And most likely it'll be breezy, even in the summer, because it normally is.
Yeah. But basically it's the exact same race.
Great. Right.
Summertime.
Same spot. So
I think we've actually done Summer Breeze at some point in the past.
Yeah.
So.
We did do Summer Breeze, yeah.
Yeah. So that's the race. Anything else on the race?
Nope.
We do want to give a shout out to Margo, who was there.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get to talk to you. You did.
It was pretty cool. She was doing the 10K. And the nice thing about out and backs is you can see people.
Oh,
you know, so.
Okay. So you actually got to see her.
Yeah. Come back. I was like, ah, Margo, you know, and then kept going. So that was fun.
And then, a shout out to Dave and Aaron, who we think were there. We never saw you.
I know. Yeah.
So, yeah.
I looked, but not really sure.
Yeah, and I was out running for a really long time, so I didn't see many people.
And then you mentioned Amanda, too. So
that's right.
Yep.
All right, so that's the race. That wraps up that kind of report. Our next race is going to be the 408K, which is in San Jose, California. It's exactly what it says. It's not 408 kilometers. It's 8 kilometers.
Mm-hmm.
So a 5-miler, which finishes off a series for us.
Yeah, the Run the Bay
series.
Yeah.
So that'll
which
be...
Which was the 415 mile,
mm-hmm.
which is the 5-mile over in the Marin area. And then the 510, which was a 10K. Over in, is that Berkeley?
Sure. I'll go with that.
Yeah. So this will finish off the series.
Yeah, in San Jose. So that'll be our next race in about almost a week and a half mm-hmm. from now. They just unveiled their shirts, which are pretty cool looking. I think you said, what's the last mile? The mariachi mile?
Mm-hmm.
So
the mariachi mile?
Yeah. That'll be interesting.
Yep. So. That'll be fun. Maybe I won't take music with me.
Might be a good idea. I know they'll have radio stations out on the course.
Yeah,
they've never done this
bother.
Race before, so looking forward to that.
I do all my trail running without music anyway, so it's not like I'll be devastated if I don't have music with me.
Yeah, I'm very used to having music all the time.
Yeah.
I'm never kind of without it, so for me that would actually be...
Weird.
Be weird and be an issue. That race is actually on a Sunday, right?
Mm-hmm.
That'll just be interesting because I know I have to run some decent miles on this Saturday. So it'll be back-to-back days for me, kind of doing a race the second day. I don't know how the body's going to like that so much.
We'll definitely take it easy.
But we shall see. Yeah, which actually brings me to a second point. I was going to ask kind of all of you at some point in time if you've had any experience with this.
All of who?
All listeners? Of who? The listeners.
Oh, okay. I'm like, it's just me.
I'm not talking to you. Oh, okay. I'm talking to the listeners here. No, what I was going to say is if people have experience with, I have on my training plan 20 milers coming up. And if you have any experience running a half marathon on the day that you're supposed to do a 20 miler, and did you Have you ever tried running the 7 miles kind of before the race? Or the 7 miles after the race?
To make it a 20?
To make it a 20. Hmm. So you got 13 from the half, and then, but you're supposed to do a 20 on the calendar. So have you ever tried running 7 before the start of a half marathon and then doing the race? Or have you ever run a half marathon and then finished it and kind of, I guess, what do you do? Breeze right through the finish line, grab your medal, and run with your medal for the next 7 miles? I don't know.
Yeah.
So I just thought I'd ask that because I know a couple weeks back I was trying to make a decision on a race that was here locally, but it just happened to be on the same weekend I was supposed to do 20 miles. And I was like, I don't know. I was like, I could go out to the race and just, I can go run 7 before the race. And that would actually be a really great idea because then I would have people to run with my last 13 of this 20 miler and there would be aid stations. But I was just afraid that come race weekend, I would just decide to sleep in an extra hour or bail or.
And then you lose your 7 miles and it turns, your 20 turns into 13.
Yeah, that's what I was afraid of. I was just afraid of me working against myself coming that weekend and just deciding not to do it, or, you know, oh, I'll just do 4 and then go do the half or something
that.
And I really just didn't want to miss out on the mileage. So if you have any experience with that, please let me know because I'm really kind of curious. My plan was to try to do the 7 before the race and then run the race, because I think the other way would be super, super difficult.
Yeah, I think if you were going to do, well, if I was going to do like add a 7 mile run to a half marathon, I'd add it before. Because I think just afterwards, you're just like, okay, I'm done. You know, like cross the finish line. Oh, I got to go back out for 7. Oh, you know, like it's just.
Yeah, I just have a hard time in my head. Although, I just think that it would be a good way to kind of have people out there with you your last.
That's true.
Few miles, you know, of your 20 miler when, you know, if you're just doing it by yourself.
Right.
You know, that's kind of tough at the end, you know, when you get to 18 and 19. And,
right. You'll be out there with other people.
Yeah. And you'll kind of
it'll be like their 12th and 13th mile, and it'll be your 19th and 20th.
Yeah, you'll kind of have that finish line to kind of drag you through. So,
right. The only thing that'd make me nervous about doing the 7 miles beforehand is like mistiming it.
Like
you're going to finish, by 8, and you finish like at 8:20. I don't know, just something like that. And you're like, oh no, like,
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Or
then you'd have to get, what if it was a really early start time?
Well, it's then, you know, you could also just make the mistake of going out for that first 7 miles too early, and you get back and.
Like, you have way too much time to kill.
20, 30 minutes to kill. And, then that's not going to feel like a 20-miler, although I think your legs will be just as tired at the end. I don't think it would make a huge difference now that I think about it. But yeah, if you have any experience with that, let us know. I'm kind of curious. But, I mean, I've already, I guess, decided not to do that race and just do my 20-miler. But I guess I could still register if I change my mind.
You could.
I don't think it's quite sold out yet, but we'll see.
Yeah, I think I'll just stick with. That's at the end of the month, right? I mean, at the end of March?
Must be.
Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, it has to be, I think.
Yeah, I think I'd probably just stick to, for me, because, you know, training for Big Sur too, I'll just stick to the 20 miler.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I dragged this off on a tangent on that one. But just
bring
get to
this back.
A little feedback before we get out of here. Carl sent us an email with a photo of him out on his run, a very freezing, snowy run, which the picture definitely makes me grateful. I'm here in California and I'm running in 50 degree weather because I don't think I could handle
negative.
Yes.
Whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Out there in Montreal. So
with ice forming on like your face and
Yeah. No, that would be tough. I would struggle. Us California people would struggle with that.
Yep.
And then also just wanted to wish Ivan and his girlfriend good luck at the Cowtown Marathon in Fort Worth, Texas. And that's their first marathon, right?
Mm-hmm. For both of them.
Good luck. Have fun.
Have fun. Don't forget to have fun.
Yes. Enjoy it, especially if it's your first one. Right. Won't be your last one. Never is.
And then let us know how it goes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Send us some pictures. We like seeing pictures.
Yeah, we do. Yeah. Especially the medal.
I like any picture, so.
That's true. All right. Anything else before we get out of here? All right. That's going to do it. So thanks for listening.
The website for the podcast is embracerunning.com. You could find us on Facebook at facebook.com/embracerunning. Send us any comments, questions, or feedback at feedback@embracerunning.com or leave us a voicemail at 925-400-7223. If you enjoy the show, give us a review on iTunes. So until next time, embrace running.